The Sound and the Color of Leaves, a Clint Barton and Matt Murdock fanfiction written and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary: Matt and Clint bond over their mutual love for fall and leaves and their disabilities. I hate fall. It's wet and cold and dark. Tony storms through the Avenger Tower common area. He throws his jacket on a chair and slumps down on the sofa, grabbing a blanket on the way. I like it. It's cozy, Clint says as he sips his tea and warms his hand on the cup. Matt, who's sitting next to him with a knit blanket over his shoulders, adds, and everything smells and sounds nice. And the colors are beautiful. Ugh, you guys are the worst, the engineer declares as he stands up and leaves with the elevator. Through the closing door, Matt hears him instruct Jarvis to bring him to his lab. Clint chuckles beside him. He always finds something to complain about, regardless of the season. Ugh, it's so rainy. Why is it so hot? Now it's too cold. Why is there so much pollen? Matt smiles, tightening the soft fabric around him and listening to the rainfall on the window front. He takes a deep breath. The aroma of his fruity tea and the vanilla-scented candles Clint put on the shelves along the back wall are the strongest, but he also noticed Tony left his jacket. A soft smell of leather mixed with his cologne and the scent of rain wafts from it. Somewhere on one of the other floors, Bucky is making pumpkin soup. Matt remembers that the soldier had invited them to join him for dinner later, and the idea makes him smile. Clint has put his mug down and wrapped his arms around his legs next to him. Jarvis, can you dim the light a bit? The voice from the hidden speaker in the ceiling answers. Of course, Agent Barton. And the light fades. Even though it's only 4 p.m., it's already mostly dark outside as the thick layer of clouds blocks most light. Clint gets up and walks over to the window. The Avengers Tower is in the middle of the city, and from here, the archer can see far over the neighborhoods. His gaze shifts from the slow-moving traffic and the swarm of umbrellas below to the bright lights on the buildings around them and finally to the clouds spanning the horizon. The hazy twilight makes everything appear surreal, and the colorful lights reflecting on the wet pavement make the streets appear to be alive. They spend most of the afternoon in silence. A few times, the other Avengers come by, looking for someone or in search of company. Natasha and Steve come by after their training session in the new climbing gym, dressed in exercise clothes and smelling lightly of chalk and sweat, but they leave again quickly. When he needs a break from the lab, Tony comes back, but he is soon annoyed by their romanticizing and flees again. Only when Bucky enters and brings the scent of soup and fresh croutons with him do they fully pop back to reality. Soup is ready. If you still want some, Bucky invites them again. Sounds wonderful, Clint says as he rises from his favorite armchair by the window. And it smells wonderful, too. Matt agrees and stretches with a soft yawn. The three men take the elevator up to Bucky's and Steve's floor. The kitchen door is closed, but the scent of vegetables and spices mixed with the aroma of toasted bread and pumpkin seeds still fills the entire floor. As soon as the elevator doors open, both Matt and Clint sigh happily. Bucky shoves them into the kitchen, where he has already set the table for three. After talking about past missions for a bit, the conversation always circles back to fall and how Matt and Clint seem to be the only ones at the tower actually enjoying the season. Sure, some of the others like the decorations or the food. Most of them seem also to enjoy Halloween, which they even celebrate together every year. But the general love for the season, even with the darkness and the rain, is something most of them can't understand. Sometime during dinner, Bucky looks out of the window. Oh, it finally stopped raining. Yes, the weather forecast says it's going to be mostly clear skies for the next few days, Matt agrees. Right, do you still want to go for that walk in the park? The weather tomorrow should be perfect. Matt cocks his head for a moment and thinks about the schedule for the rest of the week. We have that big case tomorrow, but we should be done by the afternoon. Matt can hear the smiling Clint's voice. I don't have anything planned for tomorrow, just a few errands. So just give me a call when you're free. Do you want to come, Bucky? Matt notices the swoosh of his hair as he shakes his head. I'd rather stay inside, where it's warm and cozy. You're the one missing out, Clint answers and shrugs. After dinner, Foggy calls Matt for a last-minute meeting about the court date, so he leaves the tower early. Clint and Bucky join some of the other Avengers for a movie night. The next morning, the autumn sun is shining brightly over New York City. Clint sleeps in, and later joins Natasha for a light breakfast. By then, the sun floods the communal area with bright, warm light, and even Tony stops by for a cup of coffee. At the same time, Matt is standing in the courtroom, giving a moving speech about the case. He only got the first rays of sunshine in the morning when he walked over from his apartment. Then the sun was not as powerful yet, but the promise of a long autumnal walk later still let him hum under his breath. As he predicted, the court date goes relatively quickly, and he even manages to go for a quick lunch with Foggy and Karen before meeting with Clint. By the time they meet in the park, it has gotten windy, but the sun is still even more powerful and warmer than earlier. After a short greeting, Clint offers Matt his arm as a guide, so the lawyer doesn't have to use his white cane on the rough paths. "Where to?" Clint asks, after he has figured out the best way to do it. "You were talking about that pond. That sounded amazing." Clint likes the idea, and while he shows his friend the way, they talk about the court date. Shortly after they start walking away from the streets and the walls surrounding the park, Matt notices how Clint moves less confidently and starts to stiffen up a bit. At first, he doesn't pay too much attention to it, but when they walk into a more open area, he starts to act even stranger, and after a few meters, Matt stops in his step and cuts Clint off in the middle of a sentence. "Clint, what's wrong? You are acting strange." Clint pulls the hood of his jacket up and tries to relax. "It's nothing. Don't worry about it." Matt nods, but can't quite ignore it. They continue walking over paths covered in orange and golden leaves, and Matt can't help but drag his feet a bit, so they rustle with every step. At first, Clint seems to be doing well again, but when he starts to lose his train of thought while talking, makes short, sudden movement and his heartbeat gets faster too, this time, more worried, Matt stops again. "Clint, tell me what's going on. This isn't normal." Clint remains silent for a moment before sighing. "It's the wind. It messes with my hearing aids, and it's very hard to concentrate with the constant background noise." "Can you do anything about it?" "Not really. Sometimes wearing a hood or something helps, but today it's just too much." The excellent mood Clint was in earlier seems to be completely gone. "So, take them out. We can talk about court later." "I won't be able to hear you." "I can still get your attention, and you can still talk to me if something happens. Also, we are on a walk in Central Park. What's gonna happen? We can continue this conversation somewhere where you are more comfortable." "Yeah, that's right." He thinks for a moment before continuing. "Okay, give me a second." Clint pats his pocket, searching for a little case. A moment later, he puts the box that now holds his hearing aids back and makes sure to close the pocket zipper. "Okay, ready," Clint says as he holds his elbow in front of Matt again. He grabs it and nods to signal that he's ready too. When they start walking again, Matt immediately notices how much more relaxed Clint is. The archer leads the vigilante through the park towards the pond they were talking about earlier. Clint takes a deep breath and sighs happily as they walk past a group of students seemingly studying. He lets his gaze wander over the dogs playing in the nearby dock area to an elder couple sitting on a bench nearby feeding pigeons, and then over the colorful leaves covering the trees, the paths, and parts of the meadow around them. When they are walking on a straight, empty path, he closes his eyes for a moment, letting the quietness trickle over him. Next to him, Matt cocks his head to listen to his surroundings. He hears the busy city around the park and the dogs playing nearby. For a moment, he listens to the elderly couple reminiscing about memories and the students discussing a problem before he focuses on the leaves underneath his feet. He takes a deep breath to take in the scent and drags his feet to listen to the rustling. Clint and Matt stroll through the park for a while before they reach the area Clint was talking about. The first thing Matt notices, even from afar, is the sound of ducks or other water birds fishing and cleaning themselves. When he hears a dog rushing through the water, probably to catch one of the birds, he chuckles lightly. "There's a sitting area over here. It goes up a few steps." Clint leads Matt up the steps into a pavilion that shelters them from the wind. The wooden bench faces the pond, and they have their backs to the overgrown back wall of the metal pavilion. After they sit in silence for a moment, Clint starts digging in his jacket pockets again. He takes out the case and puts his hearing aids in again. "Matt, I can hear you again." "How much exactly do you hear without them?" Matt asks after a moment's hesitation. He's genuinely interested, but he also worries he might be overstepping a boundary they haven't talked about yet. "I have about 80% hearing loss. But that's pretty abstract. They don't actually measure hearing loss in percent anyway. But depending on which definition you go by, I have either severe or profound hearing loss. It's hard to really hear someone talking next to me, and I usually don't understand what someone is saying. I can hear loud music or fights and stuff, but that's pretty much it." "So, you need them for pretty much everything?" "Yeah, that or other forms of language, like ASL, but..." Clint's voice trails off. "But what?" Matt turns in his friend's direction. "But that doesn't really work if I'm the only one who knows sign language, does it?" He snaps, annoyed. Matt turns his head away and doesn't answer immediately. Before he knows what to say, Clint continues in a calmer voice. Sorry, I didn't mean to snap at you. And I don't mean you. Actually, you are one of the few who really care about it. Ned and the others all just do the bare minimum. What do you mean? They turn down the music when I ask them because it can be hard to distinguish voices with background noise. And they usually use captions when we watch movies, but when I suggested signing or even just making lip reading easier, I got pretty much turned down until I pointed out that my aides could just randomly die in the middle of a fight, or I could lose them, or they might get damaged, and even then, they only learned the fundamentals. I think Laura and the kids are the only ones who really made an effort to learn ASL. Matt knits his brows in disbelief. That's so frustrating. They just don't understand that hearing aids are not a perfect fix. I mean, they do help, and I wouldn't want to give them up, but it's not the same. And sometimes I just want to take a break without being completely shut out. He sighs and fiddles with a box in his hands. Sorry to pull you down like this. No, I get how frustrating that is. Being hard of hearing is part of your life, and just because you have technology that helps and other abilities that make your life easier, it doesn't magically go away. The others should put more effort into accepting it and understanding how it affects you. Matt takes out his white cane and plays with the elastic holding it together. That's part of the reason why Foggy and I became friends almost instantly. We met when I moved into our dorm, and we immediately started joking around. He just saw me as a person who happens to be blind. But at the same time, he always helps me advocate for myself and does his best to understand in what areas I might need some extra help without me having to ask much. They just don't care like that. Clint gets up and kicks a rock down the steps. It's not that I expect them to be fluent in sign all of a sudden. We don't have to have hour-long conversations. I just want to be able to come home and be comfortable. Matt could sense that he was gesturing angrily but didn't think the movements were deliberate. He hasn't been around people who signed much, but since he knew Clint was deaf, he meant to look into trying to learn some signs. I don't know how well it'll work, but I'd love to try and learn some ASL. Matt unfolds his cane, gets up, and takes the few steps towards Clint. Clint, you're always welcome to visit, and I'm sure Karen and Froggy would be happy for you to join us at Josie's after work sometime. We could all learn together. Clint smiles and turns to Matt. I would love to meet them. Thank you. I guess I needed that more than I knew. This podcast was recorded for Voice Team 2024. If you enjoyed it, please consider leaving me a comment, and for more chill and vibes, check out the other works Team Kudu made in the collection.